Song of Solomon. And as I say that, the guys run even faster. So just like a moment of clarification of, since Phil got a moment of clarification, as far as Jason telling me to teach on respect, and I said no. So in case you want to know how that really went, he comes flying into the hotel room after 10 o'clock last night and says, I haven't done my study for tomorrow. I got to do it. Do you want to teach on respect and I'll teach on submission or on love? No. Anyway, the other way around. Anyway, whatever his exact phraseology of that question was, I said, babe, it's like 10:15 and my study's been done for weeks. So no. I want to go to bed. Never said my study was awesome. Never told him no. I mean, I technically did, I guess. But some moment of clarity on that darling boy. So let's go ahead while you're opening up to Song of Solomon and let's pray. God, we are so grateful. We're so grateful for the lives that you have given us. We're so grateful for the relationships that you have blessed us with. We are so grateful to be created as women, God, in your image, with your heart, with your compassion, with your love, with your empathy. We pray, God, that you would open our eyes, that you would remind us of those things that I know all of us in here already know. And yet, God, that you would give us a refresher's course in our heart today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was traveling somewhere with my husband. I think maybe we were doing a marriage thing. I can't exactly remember. This was a couple years ago now. And we were at the airport having a layover, and we needed some food. And so he said, I really want pizza. And I said, I really want salad. And I really wanted pizza too, but I wanted to fit in my jeans too. And so I went and got a salad and he stayed there and got pizza. And I came back and he was bent over a drink case grabbing a bottle of water. And so I stood there with my salad and I just kind of started rubbing his back and just rubbing it. And all of a sudden I looked across the restaurant and way over there was my husband. And he was looking at me horrified, and I just kind of looked down, and there was this other man who was looking up at me horrified, and it was so embarrassing. They were wearing the same shirt, and they kind of looked the same, and he was where I had left my husband. And you know, I tell that story because often in this life, we have cases of mistaken identity. Not that you go around rubbing random men's backs. I hope you don't. But often as wives, as women, we can confuse who it is that we actually are. I think especially as wives. And as I was praying over what God would want me to share this morning, he kept bringing my heart back to this passage in Song of Solomon chapter 1 weeks ago when I didn't know that I should teach on submission. Weeks ago, God kept bringing my heart back to this passage in Song of Solomon chapter 1. He says in verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, the Shulamite says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you, draw me away. And then the daughters of Jerusalem say, we will run after you. And then the Shulamite says, the king has brought me into his chambers. And the daughters of Jerusalem say, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. They say, your love is better than wine. The girls around her are saying, well, if you think his love is that good, then we'll run after you as you chase after him. And girls, I felt like God just kept putting on my heart this morning that he wanted us to remember that the love of Jesus is a refreshing rest in this weary world that our souls long for. Because the love of God is just better, isn't it? It's better than any friend's love. It's better than any parent's love. It's better than any husband's love. It's better than any love that our husbands could ever give to us. And we don't know too much about this Shulamite woman. We don't know what kind of past she had or who she was. But whoever she was, she came to the conclusion that anyone who has ever truly tasted of the King's love comes to. Of everything I've ever tasted, of everything I've ever tried, his love is just better. We'll never know such completeness. We'll never know such satisfaction. We'll never know such rest as the rest that our King pours out upon us. And I love that when she says this, when she declares this, that all the girls who are around her say, we want to come and see this love too. We want to follow you. And in chapter 1, verse 6, she says, rightly do they love you. I'm dark but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not look upon me because I'm dark. The sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And I love this section of scripture because here she's declaring the love of the King, and yet then following shortly after the declaration of the love of her King, comes the declaration of her own insecurities. And isn't that just like us? She says, I'm dark. I had to be out in the vineyards. And you know, it's a classic story of the cleaning lady who always has the messy house. She was so busy, she said, making sure that the vineyard was kept up that she hadn't kept herself up. And back then it was pretty much the opposite of our culture. Being tanned was a sign of being a servant. A sign of having to be outside, of having to wear clothes without sleeves so that you could work. And it's the opposite of our day now, where being pale often denotes that you had to be inside and working, while being tanned or being burned says, hey, I've been on vacation and it was so great. But often, just like us, regardless of skin tones, regardless of skin color, regardless of profession, this precious girl looks at herself, and in the light of the King, she sees only her flaws. And isn't that just like us? We see the flaws of our beauty. We see the flaws of our usefulness. I remember having a conversation a while back. A lady at our church wanted to meet with us. And she had had an affair in the past, and God had done this miraculous restoration in her marriage. And she had such a heart to help those girls who were following the same path or who had followed the same path that she had found herself on. But she said to me with tears rolling down her cheeks, she said, every time I try to let God use me, I remember everything that I've done wrong. Here she wanted to be used to help other marriages, but she didn't know how to move past her own flaws. She didn't know how to move past her own mistakes. She didn't know how to move past her past. And sometimes we can get in that spot, whether to that extreme or smaller, we don't know how to move past who we are. We don't know how to move past the way we heard our moms talk to our dads. Or we don't know how to move past the way that our dads left us and how that leaves us feeling toward our husbands. We don't know how to move past our past. And this is how. The love that this Shunammite woman experiences from the King teaches us how to move past our flaws, how to move past our shortcomings, how to move past our mistakes, and fully embrace the love of the King to be the wife that he created us to be. She got past her flaws by remembering that she was fully loved. And girls, that is our path as well. To get past our flaws, to get past how we were raised, to get past what we know, to get past maybe the last 40 years of your marriage, the last 10 years, the last 5 years of your marriage. We get past our past by remembering that we are fully loved and fully forgiven by the gracious eyes of the King. Our identity doesn't come from our worth as a wife. Our identity doesn't come from our skills. Our identity doesn't come from our ability. Our identity comes from knowing that our gracious King sees only his beauty within us. And the king, as a picture of our king to his bride, says to the Shulamite woman in chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you're fair. You have dove's eyes," to which she responds, "Behold, you're handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar and our rafters of fir." Isn't it just like our King to look at us with such grace-filled eyes, with such love in his lenses? Girls, our identity is not found in this world. Our identity is not found in being a wife. Our identity is not found in our marriage. Our identity is not found in parenting. Our identity is not found in how our kids turn out. We aren't stuck in the flaws we think we possess. Precious girls, we are so beautiful to our King, and our identity is found in him. Because our titles change, don't they? You're a wife right now, but unfortunately, you know, my husband, maybe some of you know, maybe you don't, but a couple of years ago, we faced stage 4 cancer. He had stage 4 lymphoma, and nobody could tell us for a good year or so whether or not he was going to make it. And then after we got through stage 4 lymphoma, thyroid cancer followed the next year. And it's been a season that's been wrought of wonder of, well, who am I? Is he going to make it? Am I going to be alone? Do I have to do everything? I don't quite know how to do the bills. How do we do the bills? Wait, how much do we pay? I literally know nothing because I'm awful at all of that stuff. And life faces us with situations where we don't know if we're going to have that same identity. You know, what does it mean to have an adult child? I remember when my daughter was, you know, graduated and she was always planning on going to Bible college, and all of a sudden COVID hits and Bible college was changing the way that they were doing things. And she was kind of wondering if she should go to school of worship. And she kept saying to me all summer long, "I bet you know what I'm supposed to do because I bet God told you, but I don't want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to hear from God." And I'm like, okay. You know, you go from like this place where they're so cute and easy to follow. I just got chickens in my house, and I don't think that they're allowed in my Southern California HOA, but I didn't check because then I'm not like wrong, right? It's really bad. You're like, oh, she does have a problem with submission. I really don't. I promise. I mean, sometimes, but I just got chickens and I love these little chickies because I put them on the ground and they follow me wherever they go. And I'm like, oh, this was like my little toddler chickies. When my babies used to say, "Pick me up, I just want to hold you." And now they're like, "I know you know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to know what you think I'm supposed to do." And, you know, and it's a great relationship, but it changes. It changes with adult kids. It changes with teenagers. It changes as time goes by. Some of you have strained relationship with your adult children. You know, we're faced with insecurity in our worldly relationships. And that's why I think God would say to us, you were never supposed to find security in the title of wife. You were never supposed to find security in the title of mom. The process of beauty that God is bringing you through makes you perfect in his eyes because you belong to him. Girls, we weren't intended to be competing with the world. We have the immeasurable beauty of being an image bearer of his glory. Isn't that amazing? I read in the Psalms this morning where David just cries out, "Let your face radiant," or "Let your face be radiant upon me." Isn't that what we want? Girls, you have the image of God upon you. Regardless of whether or not you wear a wedding ring for the rest of your earthly days or not, regardless of how many wrinkles and gray hair your adorable kids might give you, you have the image of God upon your face. And may that be the most important thing to us. Romans chapter 8 tells us there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And like I like to say so often, there's also no momdemnation for those who have children. We have Christ Jesus within us. There's no condemnation. There's no momdemnation. We are in Christ. We belong to Him. We are His children. And isn't that amazing? Because sometimes don't you feel like maybe you still kind of need a mom around? I feel like that every time I go to the dentist, I think, well, I know I'm 43, but I don't think I should be going here by myself. I feel like my mom should be calling and making this appointment because I don't want to go. Adulting is hard, as they say so often. And yet our identity is found in being in Christ. Girls, you are wonderfully perfect to Him. And maybe there's some of you in this room, in a room this size, and maybe you don't know if you are in Christ, or maybe you don't know what it means to be in Christ. And if that's you, I know I would love to talk to you or Rebecca or any of the other leaders in this room. But girls, when we're in Christ, when we're wrapped in His arms, wrapped in His salvation, there is no disqualifying flaw upon you. You have never messed up. You've never gone too far. You've never messed up too bad. You've never gone too far. You are still wonderfully perfect to His sight that looks at you through His own blood and His sacrifice on the cross. And in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4, the Shulamite feels the perfect love of her groom, and she says, "He brought me to the banqueting table, and His banner over me is love." You know, maybe you feel perfect love in your earthly groom. Great. Maybe you're best friends and you never argue at all. Awesome. But it's kind of not likely. You know, and I just say, I don't think you have the worst situation. And maybe you're thinking, you don't even know my situation. I get it. But this Shulamite woman, whether she was Solomon's first wife or not, she eventually would share Solomon with 999 other women. So yes, I look at you and say, I don't think you have the worst situation. I think this precious girl, no matter where she was in that line, she would say to you, I can still feel His banner of love upon me. And praise God that these verses aren't just an earthly picture of love and marriage. We have our heavenly groom. Like we talked about last night, Isaiah tells us that your maker is your husband. We have Jesus, our perfect love, the agape love, the beautiful love that we could ever imagine. And girls, our identity, like the Shulamites, is standing under the banner of being fully loved. Regardless of what your earthly marriage looks like, regardless of how you would measure your love on a scale of 1 to 10, we have the name of Jesus as our banner of love over our lives. You know, I love His name, that name of God, Jehovah Nissi. It means the Lord is my banner. And you think about when the Olympics begin, except they were canceled with COVID. But you think about way back before COVID, last time you saw the Olympics, and remember how each nation marches in the procession under their flag, under the banner of who they are. That's their identification. It says, I belong to this country. I belong to these people. This is where I belong. This is who I'm a part of. Banners also mark victories in the Olympics. When they do well, when they win, they stand on that platform to receive their medal, and their banners, their flags of their countries are raised up over their heads in a mark of victory, in a mark of triumph, in a mark of winning. And girls, we have the banner of God over us. You belong to Him. You belong somewhere. It's It's one of my favorite parts in Exodus is where Moses cries out for God, show me your glory. And God says, I've got a little place over in this cleft of the rock, a place by me. Stand there and I'll cover you with my hand. Girls, do you know that whatever kind of earthly marriage you have a place by God, a special place, a tiny little cleft in the rock where his hand covers you, where his name adorns you, where his love is the declaration of your victory, where his love is the declaration of your triumph. Romans chapter 8 says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. God, through Paul, goes on to say in Romans 8, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Girls, you as a wife, you as possibly a mom, you stand under the banner of being identified with the most perfect love that there is. Your victory is not a great marriage. Your victory is not perfect kids. Your victory that you walk in this life is that you are perfectly loved and headed for heaven with the most perfect God that could ever be. You know, I love in Numbers chapter 2, just along this line of banners and of victories and of your identity. The Lord is giving the order to the Israelites when they're marching out of the land and they're about to start their trek. Who knew how long it would end up being? But when they were starting their trek, he gives a marching order of the Israelites. And it says in Numbers chapter 2, verse 17, all the tribes are to travel in the same order that they camp, each in position under the appropriate family banner. I love that. Each family had a banner that they marched under. Each family had a banner that they stood under, and it was their identifying mark. I'm of the tribe of Levi. I'm of the tribe of Simeon. I'm of the tribe of Asher. It declared who they were. It declared who they identified with. It declared what their jobs were, what their responsibilities were, what their position was. They were this family or this clan under this banner. And when they were journeying, they were responsible to break down this because they stood under that banner. And when they set up camp, they were in charge of this because they stood under that banner. God had specific purpose and a specific job for each one of the families to accomplish under their specific banner. And what I love is that they grew up knowing this. They were commissioned from 1 month old and on, is what the Word of God tells us. That their entire lives, they were raised knowing their identifying banner. They knew who they belonged to. They knew what their job was. They weren't identified by their husbands. They weren't identified by their children's. They were identified by the mark of God upon their lives and his calling upon who he created them to be. Girls, God has a specific banner for you and your family to stand under. You have a specific job. You were created with a specific calling. You were created with a specific purpose. And that calling and that job and that purpose, it changes throughout the seasons. It changes throughout the years. But their identifying mark, whether they were journeying or tearing down or setting up or marching or staying still, it was still identified by the God of heaven. And girls, whatever you happen to be doing today, whatever you happen to be doing next week, I was kind of wondering last night, I think maybe some of you are called to go out into the mission field, and I don't know if you're fighting it, I don't know if you're praying about it. If you are, just come and talk to me, because I was really praying for that last night, and I really think that some of you are kind of struggling with that. Like, you feel like you're supposed to be called, but maybe you're leaving kids behind or leaving people behind. Can I encourage you? March under the banner, under the calling of God's name upon you, because you'll never regret it. And isn't it interesting that as God has a specific order for us as we're trekking through this wilderness of life, so often in the journey, I think we like to look under other people's banners, don't we? Well, what are they doing over there? What's their little banner look like? What are their husbands like? They like to go shopping? He likes to sit and drink coffee and talk for hours? I want that banner over there. Or their kids are so amazing. I want that banner. They believe everything that their parents tell them, rather than questioning absolutely every word until somebody cool tells them. You know, my daughter, I was on the phone with her last night, and she's so cute, and she's telling me, oh yeah, and I was talking to my roommate, and she said this, and she said that, and it was so amazing. I said, oh yeah, remember I told you that too? And she goes, uh-huh. So anyway, when she said it, and I was like, praise God, somebody else is talking to them, right? But don't we have the tendency to look over and see what's going on in someone else's banner? What does their little banner look like? What does their life look like? And like we said last night, it might be green because there's a septic tank leak. We don't know their struggles. We don't know their difficulties. I've heard it said that the bad news is that marriage is hard and then you die. But the good news is that you eventually do die. God has given you a specific family banner to stand under. It benefits no one to be peeking over to the other banner. Because isn't it true that we always want to be what we're not? I hear that there's a lot of girls in here talking about hair today because I talked about hair last night. And, you know, maybe there's some girls in the room with great hair. And I heard that you went up to somebody and somebody said, I feel like I cause people to sin because they really like my hair. And I'm thinking, well, I've never had that problem. So great. That's awesome. But I was remembering one time, you know, I kind of always wanted to be blonde hair and blue-eyed, and my youngest daughter, her hair's kind of darkened now, but it was blonde when she was little, and she used to say to me, she had long blonde hair, and she would say, Mommy, are you so sad that you don't have golden hair like me? This was the kid who, in the morning when she was 3, I said, come give Mommy a kiss when she woke up, and she said, maybe after you have your makeup on. She actually works at a salon now, so I'm like, sweet, learn how to cut my hair and do something with this because I don't know what to do with it. But so I remember one time I really wanted to be blonde, and so I got blonde highlights in my hair, and I did that for a while, and I had to get a new passport because my husband and I were traveling to Israel, and so I needed a new passport, but it was kind of soon after 9/11, and okay, so before that, I had all my kids, and I had gotten my husband a hammock for Father's Day, and then I put it together. And let me tell you how I put things together. It's kind of like, oh yeah, okay, I think the picture kind of looks like this. Let's just do it. It's done. Let's go. And so, you know, when we have earthquakes, which we have all the time, everything that I put on the wall falls off. Everything that Jason puts on the wall is like indestructible and will be there through the tribulation forever. And so I put this hammock together, and I had all three of my kids on it with me, and it was the kind that had the poles with the net. Well, it fell off, and I was trying to protect my kids. And so I hit my neck on the back of that pole. And so I couldn't really move my neck. I was like this for a good month and had a lot of physical therapy. I think my kids were like 6 months, 2 and 4 maybe. And we were going to Israel shortly after this. My neck was still a mess and I needed a new passport. And so I go and I get my passport picture, and I couldn't really move. And I had dyed, I had gotten my blonde highlights, but then I had my baby. And so you know how kind of like you stop getting highlights when you're pregnant and nursing and all of that. So my hair had grown out. So it was like dark to here and then highlights. And it was before it was cool to be like that. It was not cool yet. And so, and it was shortly after 9/11. And so I get there for my passport picture and I smile and they say, you can't smile. And I went. And that was the picture that was taken. So a year later or whatever it was, we went to Israel and the lady is looking at my passport and then she looks at me. And then she looks at my passport and she looks at me and she says, this is not you. And I said, oh no, it is. Because of course, like in that moment, I think I got to get home to my babies. Like I don't like being gone anyway. And I said, no, it's me. It's me. And she brings somebody over and she says, this is her. And she goes, that's not her. And I said, oh no, it is, look. And I tried to stand like that. And so she says, okay, I'll let you go. But don't ever do this to your hair again because it looks awful. And I said, okay, okay. But you know, isn't that how it is? We always think that that kind of marriage looks good. We always think that that kind of family looks great. We always think that that identity, that calling, well, if my husband had this job, like Jason was talking about, well, if my husband had this job, then I could respect him. If my husband was like that, then I could respect him. There are no parameters to the instructions that God gives us. He doesn't say if your husband is Enneagram this or that, then of course you would respect him because that's the easy personality type. He doesn't say that. There's no parameters to the commands of God. Whether you were 1 month old or 99 years old in the Lord, girls, are you walking under the banner that God has for you? Are you walking under the banner of respecting your husband? Are you walking under the banner of submitting to the one that God has placed over you? Are you living out the identity that Jesus has given to you? Are you walking the way that he created you to? Girls, God is our banner. And whether you feel a satisfying love in your marriage or not, is kind of superfluous to the command. Because God wants his love to satisfy you. God wants his calling to satisfy you. He has gifted you and placed you perfectly in what he has for you. Again, we have the tendency to think, but maybe that would be better. It's not going to be better. There's always going to be a different set of problems. And rather than switching banners, would we learn how to handle the problems in our own banner? Our Jehovah Nisi is the banner of love that's over us. He's the one who's gifted you. He's the one who brought you to your spouse. He's the one who gave you your children. He's the one who gave you your calling. He's the one who has called you away or called you to stay. He knows every single one of your days before you were even fashioned in your mother's womb. He knows how he wants to use you for his glory. He knows how he wants to use your specific plans, your specific marriage, your specific calling. You know, I read this morning in Exodus, God's calling all the skilled and gifted women to bring what they had to use it for creating the temple of God. And they didn't all have badger skins, and they didn't all know how to dye fabric, and they didn't all know how to be a seamstress. God called them all different to accomplish the building of his temple. And you know, I think what we forget so often is that this life is not all there is. Girls, we are the temple of Christ. We are building the heavenly kingdom. We are called beyond our marriages, beyond our lives, to glorify God. See, your days that you live out as a godly wife are not just being seen by the immediate people around you. You've got the great cloud of witnesses. Your example will live on for generations should the Lord tarry. You know, I always think about that when Aaron calls everybody in Israel to bring all their gold to him, and he's fashioning and molding the calf, it says, and then Moses comes down in anger. What did you do? What do these people do to you that you would do this? And he says, oh, no, it's not like that. I just threw all the gold in, and this calf pops out. And I'm sure if I was in the middle of nowhere in the desert, you're talking no internet, no cell phones, no TV, no video cameras, just a really old guy in the middle of a desert trying to stay out of trouble, I might have said the same thing too. And yet here we are, what, 6,000-7,000 years later, reading his story, how Aaron's fashioning the calf. No, it just popped out. See, girls, you don't know how long your story will be told. And some of you, you got difficult husbands. And some of you, you have difficult marriages. And some of you, day in and day out, seems really, really long. And yet, girls, can I just say to you that your calling goes so far beyond anything that you could ever see. I mean, do you ever wonder? I have the most random of thoughts all the time. So these people in my our most favorite living, powerful book ever, the Bible, they had no idea that God was recording their stories for his word. You know, maybe they would have smiled a little brighter, been a little nicer, been a little bit more on their best behavior had they known that everything was going to be recorded, that Reuben wasn't just going into his dad's wife's tent all on his own for nobody to know. Maybe they would have been a little better. Do you ever wonder what kind of Bible we're going to use in the millennium? Do you ever wonder if God is watching your story? Watching you be a godly wife in the face of your cranky husband? Watching you be a godly example to your children? What if he's recording your story and you're going to be what they read about in the millennium? Well, I kind of leave that thinking, oh, I might need to change a little bit. Girls, we don't know. You don't know the calling God has for you. He's got so much more. Like God's word tells us, his ways are so far beyond ours. They're so much higher than we could ever imagine. He has so much more for you. And so to you, he says, hey, I gave you this darling kind of quirky guy. Can you respect him by the power of my grace upon you? And then it's our choice. He says to you, hey, I got this kind of life for you, this kind of marriage for you. Will you let me use you? Whether you ever see it or not, will you let me use you? Ephesians chapter 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You're his workmanship. And you girls know, because like Jason said, you've been a well-taught congregation for years. That word workmanship, it's poema. You're his masterpiece. You're his poem. You're his tapestry. He's doing so much more with you than you could ever know, than you could ever imagine. Stories that you might not ever hear. Stories that would astound you later. I remember being so amazed. I love reading Christian biographies, and I love reading them with my kids. And we were reading a Christian biography on D.L. Moody. And as so many of you know, his worship leader that would travel with him, his name was Ira Sankey. And one day, as D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey were traveling through America, Ira Sankey got up there to sing, and then afterward, a man came to him, and he said, were you ever in the army? And it was during the Civil War, and Ira Sankey said, well, yes, I was. And he said, were you stationed at such and such post? And Ira Sankey said, I was. Were you there too? And he says, oh, no, I was on the opposite side of you. And it was a moonlit night, and you were guarding the tower, and guarding the fort. And the moon was full so I could see you, but I was back in the bushes so you couldn't see me. And I had my gun pointed on you. And you began to sing. And you sang a hymn that my mom used to sing to me. And I hadn't been walking with God. And in that moment, I put down my gun and I gave my life back to Jesus. And I chose not to shoot you. And you sang that song tonight. Can you imagine that song? Their story makes me cry all the time. Girls, you have no idea who's watching you. You have no idea what one moment in a restaurant, in a store, of you choosing to look at that darling little guy and just be like, you're so cute. You got no idea what God wants to use. You've got no idea what your example is going to make someone put down their earthly weapons and give their lives back to Jesus. God has so much more for you than just your earthly marriage. And I hope you're not taking away from that I'm saying your earthly marriage is not important. Because what I'm saying to you is that your earthly marriage is so much more important than you could ever understand, because God has so much more for you. Solomon says, or his bride says, his banner over me is love. Some of us, we're looking at our earthly banners and they seem a little worn, they seem a little tattered, they seem a little tired, and it is the same old picture over and over and over again. You know, you see some of these American flags and you're thinking, I'm so glad that American flags are flying, but maybe I could buy you a new one, because it's just like, it's like tattered and torn. And some of you, your earthly marriages look like that, a little bit torn, a little bit tattered, and you're looking at it thinking, I gotta get a new banner. I gotta get something else. And yet I think God would say, stop looking at your earthly banner. That's not your identity. That's not your mark. Your banner, your identification is the love of God upon you. Our true identity is not scarlet. It's not stained with sin. It's not bound to our past. Our true identity is God's love made pure upon us. You know, I love when Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15:55, you just feel the pinnacle of it when he declares, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" And maybe some of you walked in here today and you're kind of feeling that death. You're kind of feeling that grave. You're kind of feeling that sting. I just felt like God wanted me to encourage you and say, you don't have to walk out the same. You might walk out with the same marriage. You might walk out with the same guy. I mean, please walk out with the same guy. No trading. You're going to walk out with the same guy. He might be different inside, but he might not. He might have just come for the cinnamon rolls. They look great. I grabbed one. And yet you can walk out of here different. You can walk out of here changed. Maybe some of your marriages are great. I hope they are. Mine is. But every time I hear these things, I think, oh, I just want to do better. I want to be closer to God. I want to love with God's grace, with God's redemption, with God's newness. No longer do we have to flounder in who we are. No longer do we have to rub the wrong man's back. No longer do we have the wrong identity, because we have the banner of the victory, of the triumph of God's love upon us. No longer do we have to look for love in all the wrong places. No longer do we think that we have to be satisfied somewhere else. Satisfaction comes from being immersed in God's calling to us. God, our satisfaction comes from standing under the banner of God's perfect love, of God's mercies that are new each and every morning. Same old guy, same old marriage, new mercies, praise God. Each and every morning, a new calling of grace, new love, fresh eyes. We've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And his banner over us is white It's pure. It's love. No matter who you've been, no matter who you were in the past, no matter who you were this morning, no matter who you think you should be, God's banner over you is perfect love. It's fullness. It's completeness. His banner alone clothes us with righteousness. Girls, beauty, fulfillment, it doesn't come from a new outfit, a new husband, a new car, a new job, or new children. It comes from holiness of God, which is poured out among us as we choose to stay faithful in the place that He's placed us. When we choose to stay where God has placed us, when we choose to remain where God has placed us, we will find all the satisfaction and all the fulfillment that we think we're looking for. Jesus died because the banner of ourselves was worn out, tattered, stained. And He gives us a love, a banner, a victory, a triumph, a calling that is more beautiful, that is more complete than anything that we could ever search for in this life. You know, just thinking about tomorrow being Valentine's Day, and I was reading, I'm almost done with Matthew and my devotions. I read the one-year Bible, maybe some of you do too. And getting close to the end of Matthew today, I love that if you read the one-year Bible, you don't even have to do that. You can just go home and read the Gospels today. But to be able to read the story of the most faithful Valentine, of the one whose faithfulness reaches to the skies and whose steadfast love endures forever. I don't know what you're going to get tomorrow. You might get a candy bar. You might get a, hey, baby, you got me. I don't know what you're going to get. I don't want that. But whatever you get here, the most perfect love died for you. And you have His identity. You are under the banner of His perfect love. And as this Shulamite woman, she says, oh, I see all my flaws. And maybe you're in the place where you see all your flaws. Or maybe you're in the place where you see all His flaws. I'm great. He's not so great. Both of you, you're both under the banner of perfect love. And I'll tell you, I am grateful for some of those days with my darling husband. I'm like, oh, Jesus, I don't really see Him the way that you do. Please give me your eyes. And He's always faithful to answer that prayer. Girls, would we stand under the banner of God's identity in our marriage? Not because He doesn't want us to be identified with our husbands, but because when we're looking to our husbands for our security, for our identity, for the love that we think should come from them, they just can't do it. They can't give us what we need. They can't give us what we long for. But when we stand under the banner of Jesus, then it frees us up to come to serve rather than to be served, to love rather than to be loved. God's banner of true identity gives us freedom. And if the Son sets you free, you girls know you're free indeed. You're free indeed in your marriage. You're free to love. You're free to serve. You're free to give. I remember one day, my kids went to school one year at this Christian school that actually I went to, and I was working there for a little while, and I remember seeing everybody in the tetherball line let my son go first, and I kept kind of thinking, well, why is everybody letting him go first? And he was darling. He had like no front teeth forever and giant curly hair, and I said to him when we got home, baby, why is everybody letting you go first in the tetherball line? And he says, well, I've told them that if they let me go first, then I would be last in heaven and they could be first in heaven. Pastor's kids, right? And I said, well, doesn't it bother you that you're going to be last in heaven? And he said, Mom, God doesn't care about tetherball. And maybe some of you kind of got it twisted around. You knew that Jesus didn't come to be served, but maybe you can be here to be served. Maybe you can be here to get love. We kind of have it switched around of where our love is supposed to come from, of where our calling, where our identity is supposed to come from. You stand under the banner of Jesus. And he says to you, I'm your defense. I'm your shield. I'm the lifter of your head. I'm the fulfillment of your love. I'm your steadfastness. I'm your rock. I'm your sword. By me, you can run over a wall. You can leap over a wall. You can run against a troop. And you're just thinking, I don't need to leap over a wall. I don't need to run against a troop. I just need to get through this life. And he's like, I can do that too. He can do that. And maybe some of you in here today, as I was praying over you, I just kind of felt like maybe there's some who are in the place of where you just feel tired. You're tired of being tired. You're tired of feeling defeated. You're tired of being the only one who tries. You're tired of losing battles. You're tired of fighting. And I just think God would remind us that this is not your eternal home. Girls, do you remember that? That you're on your way to heaven? And isn't this life exactly like what God describes? The vapor. It's passing away. It's vanishing. Can you believe you're how old you are? Can you believe that? I mean, my kids all the time. We have this missionary, this 28-year-old missionary. He's staying with my parents and my grandma lives with me, and everybody comes to my house on Sundays for lunch after church. And he was at our house last week, and he was saying something about how my grandma always creeps him out because she comes up and she tries to rub his shoulders. And he said, I'm always afraid of creepy old ladies. That's why I don't sit too close to Christy. And I'm like, did you just call me a creepy old lady? Because see, in my mind, I think we're the same age. Like, I'm in my 20s, right? Anybody else? My daughter was trying to do gymnastics, and I was like, I can show you how to do a back handspring. Boom. Oh, wait, I haven't done one of those in 30 years. Life is so fast. It's passing away. The days seem long. The years seem short, though. Girls, you can do this. You can do this. Not because marriage was designed to make you happy. I hope your marriage does make you happy. It can make you happy because it makes you more like Jesus, makes you reach out for him. But girls, the kind of marriage that God wants us to have is not one of the marriages that we'll see on TV. It's not one of the TV shows or the celebrity marriages or the romance novels that sometimes we get wrapped up in this world thinking that we want. That's why God is so clear. He says in 1 John, don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. And we say, oh yes, I don't love the world. I don't love the things in this world. But I want my marriage to look like one of the things in this world. That kind of marriage isn't real. It'll leave us just as empty as Hollywood feels. This is not our home. This is not our people. They aren't to be our examples. But look at how this guy talks in this movie to his wife in his relationship. Girls, those were lines written by women that man is saying. Nobody talks like that. There are no Fabios. And if they are, they're probably not into women. I don't know. The talkers are always wasted on the non-talkers. The shoppers are always wasted on the non-shoppers. Because God is not into making us completely content in this life. He shakes us up because he knows we're headed for heaven. He wants to conform us into his image. And as we remain day in, day out, like Ruth Bell Graham says, every day, it's so daily. Whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're hormonal, whether you're not, whether he's great, whether he's not, as you and I remain under the banner that God has called us to, of his perfect love, of respect, of submission, whether they deserve it or not, but God has called us to it. And when God calls us, he will enable us to fulfill the calling by his grace, conformed into his image, just passing through. Because isn't that sometimes the problem with marriage? Is you're looking at this thinking, well, I've told you this for a whole year now, and I don't know if I can keep telling you forever. It's usually not today that's the problem. It's the idea of doing this forever that gets so difficult. And God rightly says, girls, don't forget, this is not your citizenship. This is not what you were made for. You are made to be a blessing in your marriage. You are made to serve. You're made to love. But you were ultimately made for that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Girls, you're on your way to heaven. If you're in a battle right now, you're on your way to heaven. Just remain faithful. If you're in the perfect marriage right now, you're still on your way to heaven. Just remain faithful. Whether you feel loved or unloved or satisfied or unsatisfied or fulfilled or unfulfilled, don't start rubbing the wrong man's back. Your identity is not who you are in this life. Your identity is found that you are a child of God. Your identity is found in the fact that you are fully loved. And like Romans tells us, we love him because he first loved us. You are a bride of your husband, and I hope you love that like I do. But ultimately, girls, you are the bride of Christ, and you're being made ready, Revelation tells us. You're being made ready. What a beautiful picture. You know, I've never seen a bride who's getting ready for their wedding and say, well, I'm going to sit on the TV because I got engaged. I'm going to sit on the couch in front of the TV, eat as much as I can, do nothing about my wedding because I'm engaged. No, that's like for after you get married. Engagement, you know, people are like planning everything and got to organize everything, and everybody's trying to lose their weight and get their spray tans and all of that stuff, at least in California. You guys are here in Nevada where it's normal. I don't know. But everybody's getting ready for their wedding. There's a wedding countdowns. There's a wedding planners. There's a wedding calendars. Girls, we are engaged to Jesus right now. There's a day coming, Revelation tells us, when our groom will come from heaven and the bride will meet him dressed, adorned, ready for our heavenly marriage. You, as you sit married to your earthly husband, great as he may be, are on your way to your true wedding. You're on your way to your heavenly groom. You're on your way. Are we ready? And I think that that's what God just wants to leave us with today. Whatever you go home to face, health crisis, job difficulties. Look at those boys. They're already done. I better let you go so you can go get some cinnamon rolls. Whatever you go home to face, whatever these next couple years hold for you, your identity is that you are perfectly loved by a groom who is on his way to come and get you. And so, God, I just pray that you, Lord, would be our obsession. That, God, you would be magnified by our hearts. That you would be what we are found in. That you would be our identifying banner. God, this world gets us so mixed up into thinking we need things this way or we need things that way. And yet, God, you would say, oh, no, you just need things my way. Because, God, your way is better. Your ways are higher, your ways are greater, and we will only find contentment and only find satisfaction as we seek first your kingdom, as we fix our eyes on you, as we fix our mind on you. God, teach us to love better. Teach us to submit quicker. Teach us to respect in a greater capacity. But God, I know that that is only found as we grow in you and in the knowledge of your grace and grow in your word and with your identity upon us. So bless these girls. God, bless their marriages. God, I pray you would restore any that need restoration, that you would give joy to any that need a little bit of that breathed into it, that you would give faithfulness to the ones who have been such great examples. But God, most of all, that we would learn to be a group of women who are passionately obsessed with you, our heavenly groom. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.